Welcome to the Leadership Forum.
We call this the Leadership Forum,
where we discuss leaders and followers.
It's not a political trick.
This episode is a repeat of the live session that happens on Monday's mid-morning show with Omboy Mboro. The Leadership Forum.
Leadership Forum, only on Hope FM.
Listen and live.
A very blessed morning as you join us for the Leadership Forum. My name is Omboy Mboro, and with us, Bishop David Oginde. That's for the Leadership Forum. And I think we will just go straight to matters that have to do with leadership. How are you, Bishop?
Very well, thank you. Thank you.
Introduce for us the topic today. Off the record, you had told me you want us to start on something you're calling the dignity of leadership.
Yes, we want to start on this discussion on the dignity of leadership. Why? This has been stirred up by, now that we've talked about politicians, by what we are seeing, especially among our political leaders, how they conduct themselves. And we saw what happened in Parliament a few weeks back, when one of the bills was being debated. We have seen some things that happen in City Hall and other county assemblies. We have seen what is happening on the campaign trails. And these are the people who are visible leaders for the country. I say visible because the politicians are not the only leaders in the country. There are some very serious leaders in this country who are doing an excellent job, but we don't know them, you know, because they're just doing their thing, leading a company here, leading an organization there, and you don't get to see them. But the most visible leaders are in the political and government arena. Now, the way these people conduct themselves gives a picture of what leadership is. And for those who are observers, and we talked about young people, the young people are therefore observing these people, and they could easily think that this is how leadership is done. And we have seen this trickling down to our schools, trickling down to our colleges, to our universities, where the young people are also beginning to conduct their leadership in a very similar manner, so that we are ending up with burning down of schools, disrespect for authority, and so on and so forth. So how can we restore or try to bring forth dignity into leadership?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that leaders conduct themselves in a dignified manner. You know, the good old days when we were growing up, a teacher was a symbol of, you know, leadership in the village, you know, not just in school, even in the community. When Mwalimu passes by, I mean, even ordinary people want to stand because this is Mwalimu, you know, because there was a sense of respect and dignity that they carried in their way, the way they did things.
Thank you. Thank you, Bishop. So let's go to the dignity of leading.
Yes, we talked about, we were just introducing this whole thing, and we are saying the dignity of leadership has to do with how do you conduct yourself as a leader. You find yourself in this space called leadership in whichever level. And we always begin from home. You are a father, you are a mother. How you conduct yourself in that home will determine how your children also conduct themselves out there in society. If you are always abusing and insulting and using foul language, be sure that your children will do the same. You know?
You can be sure.
Calling people stupid, they will also call people stupid, you know.
And one day, perhaps you.
Even you, yes, they will call you stupid at the wrong place and at the wrong time. And then you get so embarrassed and you say, where did this child learn this from, you stupid? You just confirm that you are the one who is the source of this undignified way of conducting. So right from home to the neighborhood, to this wider society, to your place of leadership and responsibility. As a leader, you should conduct yourself in such a way that is worthy of your position as a leader. Paul tells, I think, is it Timothy or I can't remember who it is, but he says, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the calling that you have received. So that is what dignity is all about. So it means that when I'm in anywhere I find myself, there are things I cannot do because I'm a leader. You know, I am constrained because of my leadership position. Everybody else may be doing, but because I am a leader, I am constrained from doing it. There are things that I am constrained from saying. Everybody else can be saying, but I will not say it because I am a leader. Sometimes I receive WhatsApp messages. I see posts on Twitter, on social media, and they are so juicy. You know, I would like to comment on them. But then I remember that I am a leader. Whatever I say here, people will be saying, even Bishop, you know, said this. So that whole thing will be transferred to me instead of the originator.
I know.
You get it?
Yes.
So because of that, I will let it pass. Because I am constrained by my leadership role in society, in church, in my family, in every place. That is what the dignity of leadership is all about. So you cannot conduct yourself anyhowly. You cannot behave anyhowly. Your followers could. There are things they can say. There are things they can do, you know? But you as a leader, that responsibility constrains you. And that is what we call dignity of leadership. Now, an English philosopher and writer of many years ago said, and I quote, "I believe that the first test of a great man is humility. I don't mean by humility the doubt of his power, but really great men have a curious feeling that the greatness is not of them, but through them. And they see something divine in every other person and are endlessly, foolishly, and incredibly merciful." End of quote. John Ruskin, an English writer and philosopher. And what I hear John Ruskin saying is that if you are a great man, or if you present yourself as a great person, if you present yourself as a leader, then your first test is test of humility. How do you conduct yourself in a particular situation? And he says that that does not mean that you're not powerful or that it takes away your power, but it simply means that you have a feeling, you have a sense that because of your greatness, because of your where you are, you need to treat other people better. So you are conscious of that. And he says it is endlessly, foolishly, incredibly. In other words, some people may look at you and say, how can you even do that knowing who you are, you know? But you know that because I'm a leader, I cannot do this because I'm a leader, I will conduct myself in this way. So when we talk about the dignity of leadership, we are talking about how do I conduct myself as a leader. You must have a level and a sense of decorum in the way you do things. You must have a level and a sense of dignity in the way you act and relate with people. One Tom Coveras has said, the opposite of good manners is not bad manners. It is meanness.
Oh. The opposite of good manners is meanness, not bad manners.
Not bad manners.
If you think about it,
it is true.
Uh-huh.
A good-mannered person is not just a person who has decided not to be bad-mannered. And a bad-mannered person is not just a person who lacks good manners.
Mm.
That's what he's saying. Opposite of good-mannered, it means that if you have the capacity to be good-mannered, mm-hmm. and you choose not to be good-mannered, you are mean. You're not bad-mannered.
You're just mean.
You're just mean. So that if you have the capacity to treat me well, which is good manners, to be courteous, which is good-mannered, you know, and then you choose not to, then you are not bad-mannered. You are mean. Does it make sense?
Yes, but I'm looking at it the other way. I was thinking when you first quoted that person, yes. I was thinking that what they mean is that in being mean, you now do not even have capacity. So that the capacity for good manners is in the opposite of meanness. It's in love. Maybe let's call someone who is the opposite of mean. This is very strange English. So we are saying that the opposite of good manners is meanness. But I'm saying the opposite of meanness is love.
Exactly.
But so now if you have love, you have the capacity. So you can't say that if you have the capacity but you don't act on it, a mean person doesn't have capacity.
No. You can't be mean if you don't have the capacity. Think of an insane person.
Mm-hmm.
If you find an insane person, a madman, comes and slaps you on the face as you're walking on the streets, what will you do or say?
I leave him because he's not okay.
Yeah, he doesn't have the capacity, you know.
No, being rational, yes, he didn't, yeah.
But if a normal human being,
hey,
who is in his right senses, does that,
he's we meet at the court. It's you assault. See,
you'll hear from my lawyers.
Yes. You know? It is assault.
Yes. So that's an assault because this person has the capacity to know that hitting somebody on the cheek on the streets is wrong. But they have chosen to do it anyway. They are mean. If you are driving and somebody drives off the road, cuts right in front of you, you know, that person is not just bad-mannered. That person is mean because they are thinking of themselves more highly than they ought.
Yes.
They are thinking that you are not in the same hurry that they are in. This and therefore, they can come and cut in front of you and proceed their way. They are being mean.
Mm-hmm.
because they know what they are doing. They, in fact, such people get very angry if you do that the same to them. They will hoot at you seriously. And I've seen this happen, by the way.
Because they are mean.
they're just mean. There's a person who just came and squeezed themselves in front of us. And as they say, as fate would have it.
Yes.
Only a few meters further down the road, somebody did exactly the same to them. They hooted so bad. And I'm thinking, but you just did it to us just a few minutes ago.
Yes.
But for them, they would not want somebody to do that to them. You know? Because they think themselves more highly than they ought. They think, for me, I can do this to you, but no one else should do this to me. They are selfish. They are mean.
Okay.
And so you find that sometimes leaders do things or say things or think things that they themselves would be very angry if they saw somebody doing. You know?
Mm.
It means they lack that sense of personal dignity. So they can shout at you, they can, you know, call you names. They can misuse you. And because they are leaders, they think it is okay. They have that right to do that. But you dare do that to them. Or let somebody else, even their own supervisor, if they have one, do that to them. They will come and rant before you. Imagine what so-and-so did to me. Imagine. And you're thinking to yourself, but you do this to us all the time. You know, because they do not have that sense of thinking that we ordinary mortals have the same feelings and are also people just like them. So a leader, therefore, must always be considerate of the people that they lead. When a leader stands on a political platform and calls people names, they must always think, how would I feel if somebody did that to me? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like a few months back, it has died down a bit, thank God. I had people standing on platforms and calling the president and his family names. Now, I don't know whether that person has thought, if somebody was to call my mother or say this about my own mother, how would I feel? They have not thought that way. For them, that moment is a moment of joy and heroism, you know? Just a few weeks ago, we had a member of parliament stand on a platform and call people names. How would they feel if somebody called them the same? You know, that thinking is not there when somebody is doing that. Therefore, the dignity of leadership requires that do unto others what you would have them do unto you, which is the love that you talked about, that Jesus said. So there's a call, therefore, to balance. The freedom of choice, the freedom of speech, the freedom of all these things that we quote must also be tempered with social tolerance and consideration for others, because they bear consequences both for you and on the people that you are doing whatever you are doing.
And so, you know what I think?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, Bishop. I was just sorry if I've
no, go ahead. This is a discussion.
I was just wondering, Bishop, how shouldn't we have thought, why did somebody put this person as a leader? Why did anyone follow this person as a leader? I have managed to get some of the dictionary other words that one can use for meanness. It is lack of generosity. It is unkindness. It is spitefulness. It is unfairness. It is nastiness. So why, how come this person, you know, leadership is a journey. How did this person become a leader before dealing with their nasty nature?
Now, if you're talking about political leadership, I think that's the journey we have walked for the last several weeks when we are talking about the attributes of a good leader. And politics is a strange arena of leadership because the factors that get people to elect a person to be their leader are not always rational. Neither are they led by the spirit, like we talked about earlier.
Mm-mm.
They are influenced by what we talked about some time back, political tactics. If you remember.
I do, tactics.
Yes. So you find that we end up electing people into positions of leadership who only a few weeks later we regret. We say, how did we get this person there? And that happens in this country all the time, but we never learn, you know? So with the euphoria, like now, political formations are beginning to happen, you know?
Mm.
Different groupings.
I tell you.
And as these groupings happen, we also group ourselves with them. You know? So once a political formation, and in our case, in this country, the tribal ethnic factor is key. You know? So once an ethnic formation has been created from my area, mine is to follow.
Yes, not to ask any questions.
No questions asked. So whoever they give us as their choice of leader, we vote for them, you know? And so we vote without thinking. We vote without consideration. And we get these people into leadership. And then a few weeks down the road, we want them out. We are tired of them. They are not delivering.
They're so mean. They're so mean.
They are so mean. You know? That's what happens in political arena. And our prayer this time round, especially for those who are our listeners on this platform, I think we have tried our best, I would say, for those who are listening on this platform. If such people then go and elect mean people, it is by their own choice. Because this kind of those choices have consequences in the long run. If it is in a different context, it's sometimes leaders come upon us without our choice. The person could be the owner of the organization, and you come in there as a worker, and you find this mean guy who is the owner of the company. So you mm-hmm. either toe the line or you are out. Yeah. So those kinds of things do happen, you know, where you just find yourself saddled with a very mean leader. Sometimes people are appointed into your department or into your company or into your organization that are just mean people. So I think it's only in the election part where we can say we have a responsibility to choose the right kind of people. And for those of us who sit in boards of governance, those of us who have make a choice of the kind of people we should bring on board, then we have a responsibility to ensure that we get the right kind of people on board and that we create the right kind of environment within our organization that does not perpetuate meanness.
All right.
As a leader, if you hear that somebody, a supervisor, a head of department, a head of a branch is being mean to their followers, then you can call that person and say, this is not how we do things here, and help them to change how they conduct themselves in their leadership.
Thank you. Some feedback here. Is it in order to associate lack of dignity with the issue of emotional intelligence and self-mastery? And this person, Steve, reminds me there is a time we had indicated we would handle that within the leadership forum. Well, the question is, are the two associated, dignity and emotional intelligence and self-mastery?
Yes, personal mastery is a subset of emotional intelligence. And yes, it is associated, because I choose to be dignified. I can make a choice. And we said that earlier, that I can decide that because I'm a leader, I am constrained by that very fact, from doing certain things, from saying certain things. That is personal mastery, which the Bible calls self-control.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that self-control, the Spirit of God will help you, but the Spirit of God cannot force you. It is a fruit of the Spirit, but you have to exercise it. So that if I find myself where I could easily burst out in anger, I will constrain myself and say it nicely, even though I'm very angry. You know?
Yes.
It's not always easy.
No. Yes. So they are indeed associated.
Yes.
And feedback on the whole issue of how much should a government speak into who can be a pastor? And someone says, I believe the biggest responsibility lies with the true church to urge the faithful to read the Bible for themselves, to be alert and to shun false prophets as well as false pastors. D. Atundo, this I think is your friend. Some of the most dangerous con men out there are usually highly educated. He's just quoting what he said.
Yes.
He just wants to. Yes, it is true. And Delight says, I am glad to learn to always put people before the profit, because eventually those people will work to produce the profit. And I think at the point you said that you were talking about the Catalyst launch and what one of the keynote speakers said.
Yes, yes, true.
And it's interesting, is that coming out as dignity also, to me at least, putting people before profit is
yes,
the opposite of being mean.
Mean people, the first opportunity they get in such a crisis to lay people off.
Let them out. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Let them go. We must save every coin.
Yes. So it's part of that dignity of leadership that considers other people and say, where is this person going to go? Why don't we suffer together? Share the little that we have. For example, in Park University, if I may say.
All right.
When COVID hit, we were not very good financially. But the leadership there, led by the vice chancellor and the team, talked with the staff and said, this is where we are. The options before us are this. Supposing we agree that we will all suffer together, you know, receive 25% of our salary until things begin to look up. And they all agreed to work almost for free. And in the process, they were able to bring the university to the level where right now all of them are back and we are looking for more people.
Wow.
So it's that understanding and appreciation. Many other companies did that. Some even went to zero, you know. Let's just work. No salary. Let's trust. I don't know whether they said trust God, because I don't know whether they knew God. But they say find a way of surviving, but let's keep working. And when things look up, then we will together share whatever comes. And several companies did that. They were able to get into profitability and they were able to pay all the arrears that were there. I know in Sitam we did the same, you know.
Yes. And
we were even able to pay arrears of what was not paid before. So that is a consideration for the people where we are saying we are in this together.
Wow. Wow. Yes. We will be looking at more on dignity in leadership next time.
Yes, we will do
that. Thank you. Thank you so very much, Bishop. Yes. Sorry,
We just introduced the subject.
Yes, I know. Just an introduction. We would be looking forward to next time. That's Monday after next. For now, releasing you so that you can go and teach others some more on leadership.
Thank you.
Travel safely.
Amen.
With dignity on the road.
I'll try.
Don't be late. All right. That's Bishop David Oginde with us in what we call the Leadership Forum. And we thank you for joining in, for comments, for questions, and just for listening. If you just listened, we are grateful. May the Lord bless you. I'm on Boeing Borough.
Join us next week, same time, for another episode of the Leadership Forum.